19th and 20th and 21st, the weekend before Christmas, and they'll have their construction done and so forth. I told him we would clean up and do a good job here. He knows that, and he appreciates it, and we're very fortunate to have this facility and to be able to have this weekend and come here and kind of get out of the way of life and give ourselves a present. I think it's been the best beginning we've ever had. And the speakers were all great, and it was just great. What a program. And if you didn't hear your answer here this weekend, why, I don't know what to tell you, but it was really a good program and good balance to it. And I really appreciate Joe and Kay coming and being a part of it, and as well as the other people. These are people that Sue and I know, and they're our friends, and we've met on the road, and so we want you to meet them, and we want you to get a chance to hear them, and it's that we give back to our home group, that which we are fortunate enough to be out on the road and traveling in AA and Al-Anon and get to hear people, so we want to invite them to come here, and it's right before Christmas, the travel time is not really good, and it's always a sacrifice on our guest part to come through the airports and what have you this time of the year, and it's not the best time to travel, but some people are willing to do that, and we're eternally grateful for that. And this was our 28th beginning. The men had three before we combined it. Sue, 25 years ago, Sue had the woman's retreat, Gotta Want a Woman's Safe Place. And then that same year, we had the first beginning where we invited the women, a combined thing, and Elsa Chamberlain and Jimmy Williams. A lot of those old-timers have been here throughout the years. And it's kind of got to the point where in the beginning, while we had the first two the reason I named it the beginning or kind of pushed that we do that, and we kept that because I had previously in early sobriety gone to a monastery retreat in January, and it was a step retreat, and so it was kind of a situation that other people were doing, and it was a little bit it was put on in a Catholic monastery. It was Catholic priests that did it, and I'm not Catholic, and I got benefited from it, but I learned some things, and so I said, rather than January we start the year with the steps, let's have a beginning in December before Christmas, so that we can put a lot of, make some good deposits in our bank for the holidays and the new year. And that's why it was named that. And we had three men's retreats up here. Sue and I came up here to another function a couple of times put on by some other people, and I talked to the camp people and made arrangements, put a deposit down, and started our first one. We had, because I'd gone to the other retreats I'd been to, we didn't want to call this a retreat, because in AA we advance, we don't retreat. But I asked a priest, and then we had Gene Duffy. Gene Duffy did our second one, then I think another priest did the third one. Sue and I renewed our wedding vows up here. We had Father Gavin here, and we did that and 1 year. And just been a good thing, and we've carried a legacy on. And a lot of the people that are new have no idea what it took to just get here years ago, why it was, we had people strung out all over trying to get here, and it's a little easier today because we've been here, and it's good that we have the reputation of cleaning up and taking care of things, and they give us free run of this place, and Mick's been a real good supporter of us, and loves us, and really enjoys being with us, and it's his and my opportunity to spend a little time together once a year, and good things have happened, and I really feel good. I feel like I don't feel like we've accomplished anything. I think like I feel like we have passed through a time when we can touch our emotions and feelings, and I really, really this weekend got in, allowed myself to cry. I was that in touch with my feelings. I let my feelings come out, and it's good. I think that's Chuck always used to tell me that's taking a shower from the inside out. And I know when I'm not biting my tongue to keep from crying, I'm allowing myself to feel things, and I think that's so important to allow yourself to feel. I think it's a weekend when we really get our feelings and our emotions, and we have to be very careful not to, you know, make decisions or what have you that we spur out on a weekend like this, because we are letting our emotions and feelings come out. We draw from this, we go back down the hill and we draw from this. We've got a lot of exciting things coming up. We've got Christmas and New Year's, and then New Year's Day we've got panels at Los Amigos, we've got panels at Paramount all through the holidays, so we've got a good year to finish up here and to look forward to. And we can certainly do it with the faith and the strength that we've heard here this weekend, and the support of those people. The people that are here are not only our friends, but they support Sue and I, and we need a lot of support. And we need to know people care for us that are ahead of us and beside us, and it's really a good thing. This is a special thing. People don't even understand if they haven't been here. But it didn't happen overnight. This is our 28th one, and like I said, we were coming up here to another function put on by some other people, and Sue and I put a lot of emphasis on those times when we first came here, and we gained a lot from it. But when I went over and signed up at the office, when I found out that we could get this place ourselves, when I signed up at the office, the man that was putting those other retreats on was my friend, and his jealousy stepped in, and he was jealous that I'd stepped to the side and done something on my own, and it destroyed our friendship, or the beginning of destroying that. And so I don't know if we had one in the beginning. I felt like we did, but and I still regarded him as a friend, even though he didn't have anything to do with me after that. So my point is, you can't step out and do something because you feel the benefit of the program, the steps, and the God within, and the power to do something. You can't step out and do something on your own without being judged, criticized, and sometimes you will lose friendships and acquaintances, as they were, because of that. And it's just the way it is. And I'm not one to sit and wait and be satisfied with your program. I believe in the AA program. The AA program tells me that I can make decisions, and I can draw from the unity of the group and make decisions and get to unified group conscience and the informed group conscience of our group, and we can do things. And like I say, the people that have been to these retreats, you'd never meet if it weren't for Sue and I. So a lot of times people say, I want to thank Keith and Sue, I want to thank Keith. Well, you should. But on the other hand, that's heady wine for us. And so thank you for thanking us, because a lot of people in here, if this group was founded on what you do, we'd never have these things. There are some people here who do things, and there's people here who watch things happen, and there's people here who wait for things to happen. And Sue and I make things happen, and it's just part of us. It's the way we are. The good news is we're not making bad things happen. We're making good things happen. And you're very fortunate to hear the speakers that we've had at these retreats, because these people are really good, and they're scrutinized. We don't inform. We don't bring people here intentionally that are going to tell you the wrong thing. and we invite people who will enhance your program, enhance your life, and help you understand the God of your understanding and love you. And that's how we pass it on. We do a lot of things. We go out and speak all over, and we've been doing that for 30 years. But we bring something home, too. We don't just go out there and spray and then just, you know, brag about that and pat ourselves on the back. We bring something home because we meet people we like, and we want you to meet them. And we want you to be touched by these people the same way we have been. And not everybody gets that. But you go back down the hill, and next week and the next week, you'll remember things that you heard here and the things that you've seen here, and you'll draw from it, as we have. We've heard these people many times, and we still draw from it. We draw from it, and we're open and teachable. I think it's great for Joe and Kay to be here to talk about their children. You heard a lot about kids, and there's a lot of you going to need that. You're going to need that coming up in the years ahead. So I'm really blessed that we're here. We got signed up for next year. We're going to leave here in good order. We're going to go down the hill and be safe and carry on our lives and go back, step back into life. I really want to thank you. It's been a tremendous feeling for me to sit and watch all the work that's gone on with the changing, of the layout and the kitchen and what have you. I really have just enjoyed sitting back and watching you guys work together. And that's what it's all about, the unity of it, and a we thing, and we are unified. But I really, this year, and I told Sue, it's hard. We have special times whenever our daughter has been able to come to this, and our granddaughter, and those are weepy moments. But I draw from the fact that I watch you guys intermingle with each other, help each other, take care of business here, and put on great meetings and the play. And overall, it's just, I have to look at the good. And that's, the good is the God. And I want to thank you for being here. Here's Sue.
Hi, I'm Sue. We found a note on Beth's bed this morning. There aren't words to express my thanks and my love for you all. I will miss you. Keep hanging tight. The AA and Al-Anon here is special. See you somewhere, someday, someplace. God bless you all. Love you lots, Beth. She had a good time, too. Hi, I'm Sue. You know, like Keith was sharing, you know, we bring these people in to share with you that we have gotten things from, and we've had the best. We've had the best here over the years, you know. And each year we say, this year's better, and it always is, you know. And Keith talked about the years that we've gone through this thing, and you know, you came up here Friday, and the kids that were here left a mess, and you guys cleaned this up and helped them and stuff with selfish motives that if you helped them clean, you could do your thing sooner, you know. They don't know that. They think you're sweet. And but all of that, and you're going to clean up afterwards before we go home, and you've been trained to do that. The way you got trained to do that, I mean, like, you know, people say this is your home group, it's a lot of work. My sponsor says it is a lot of work to be a long-timer in a home group, and it is. I remember calling her one time, making a decision in a parking lot, no more babysitting, because everybody's fighting about not wanting to babysit. And I called her, and I said I was just a bleeding deacon. She said, no, I don't think so. You were an elder statesman. Somebody had to make a decision. And everybody, I said for 90 days, oh my God, everybody tried to talk me out of that. But for 90 days, everybody had kids, had to get babysitters, go to meetings. We didn't have babysitting at the hall. When it hit the alcoholics in the pocketbook, they were really pissed. Yeah, and even Keith said, the guys are pissed at you, you know. Can't you, you know, you got to do something. No, no, my sponsor says, I said I got to hang in there for 90 days, and it was hard. So when I talk about the cleanup here, you know, before we've been doing this, you said for 28 years.
I have. I participated.
He did. But before that, it started out years ago of guys coming to our home. Rob Kamer was the first. And he came to our house, and he was crying and screwed up, and he goes, "My folks are drinking at my house, and I can't handle it. I need a safe place." And then here came somebody else, and here came somebody else. And it was the guys that are still here with 20 years and more. And they were heathens. We would say a prayer before we ate, and then I would say, "Don't eat with your hands. Don't scoop up food with your hands. There's a spoon and everything, and you will learn how to use them." And then I said afterwards, we practice the seventh tradition here, you have to clean up. This is my house, but you came and you... And we opened our home to you, and we practiced the seventh tradition. I'm not your mother. I'm not your maid. You will clean up after yourselves. And they did. And there was one guy that smoked a lot, and he would not clean out ashtrays. And Simone and I got so tired of cleaning up after his trashy ashtrays that we got one of those big envelopes, and we'd keep dumping his butts in there. And we mailed them to him and said, "You forgot this at our house." And after that, he cleaned up his ashtrays. So the training of cleaning up after ourselves, and the girls would come over to the house, you know, and, you know, that was cool. When the guys started having girlfriends, and they brought the girlfriends over at the house, and it's like little prima donnas, you know. Get off your butt, get in the kitchen. You are not company at my house. You know, you are part of. Yeah. And it was funny. And most of the girls in the very beginning that they had were AA chicks. Little twit asses. That thought that that's all they had to do, just twit around meetings. And they found out how to be women at my house. One time, Keith set up a video camera because they were helping us decorate the Christmas tree, and it almost turned into a porno flick, so we destroyed it because the AA gals would walk in front of the camera. and additional things. And we cut that off. No more cameras, no more. So Santa Claus is coming to town. So... we have gone through a lot of things, and they've all been learning experiences. But more than anything, they have made Keith and I work a program and be an example to you. You force us to work a program and to be an example to you. That's the only way we can live with you. Because we're all selfish and self-centered. We all want to take advantage of each other. And it makes Keith and I strong. And it forces us to go to our God a lot. Because with the disease of alcoholism, it's easier to hate and reject than to love and cuddle. Yeah. It's just like somebody said this morning, and it's so cool. They said, "Did you sleep well last night?" And I said, "Yeah, I did, you know." And I felt old age creeping up on me last night. And I opened my eyes, and it was Keith. So, yeah, I slept great. And a lot of people say, "You guys talk about sex and stuff." Well, yeah, because it's still important to us. You guys, a lot of you are growing up, you're new in relationships, you're trying to get in relationships, And we want to be an example to you in every area. Take God into the bedroom. Share in the bedroom. You know, one of the neatest things that Keith and I do during our day, every day, is when we go, and we even said it last night. I wonder if other people do this. I'm sure Kay and Joe do, because they've been together for so long. But one of the neatest times during our day is when we go to bed at night, and we lay there and we talk. We just lay there and talk to each other, and we share our day with each other. Because each one of us has a life. We're not attached to the hip. We aren't together 24/7. Even though we're retired, there's different things that we do. He went out of town here a while back, and he got home. And he said, "Jesus Christ, you've just been talk since I got home. What's wrong with you?" And I said, "You've been gone. I got to fill in the gaps. You know, there's gaps." And the neat part is that this program, if you practice the seventh tradition in your life, no matter where you're at, and especially in your own home, relationships are wonderful. At home, at your home group, out there, doing what I'm responsible for doing all the time. It's not anybody else's problem. I'm not anybody else's problem. And it's been said over and over this weekend is that, you know, when you're bad and I don't like you, it's usually because I'm in a bad place. It absolutely has nothing to do with you. And a lot of times you irritate me because I see my character defects that I need to change in you. And the reason it irritates me is because I'd rather bitch about your character defects than work on mine. And this program is all about change. Doesn't matter which one you're in. It's all about change. Was talking to, I forget who I was talking to the other day. AA, and our Arbutus O'Neill got mad at me one time for saying this, but it seems like to me today, AA is just not about drinking. It's just don't drink, no matter what. And people say, "Well, I got to go to Al-Anon." Why? We don't have steps in Al-Anon. We adapted the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. These steps are to change us. They're to change us. No matter what program we're in. I mean, once you guys quit drinking, you're all nerds like Al-Anons. So it's like, you know, if you want to change and not be nerdy or bitchy or whatever, apply these principles to your life and change. That's the only thing that makes it good is change. If we're not going forward, we're going backwards. Nobody stands still. It's impossible. You know, it's just like when they hook you up to a heart thing. You go up and down and up and down. You know, the only time we're flatlining is when we're out of here. The thing about growth in this program is that we don't swing up as high or down as low as we go along. We get more like this. But we're still changing, and we're still going forward. It's, you know, it's neat. I listen to what people say. I listen. And a lot of people, it just goes, but I was talking to Mick yesterday, and he was talking about the new facility, and he quit the construction while we were up here this year so it wouldn't be interfering with us and stuff, and he said, in next year, you know, when we have a woman's safe place, it'll have the kitchen and the dining hall and the meeting room, and it'll have speakers in the ceiling like a hotel conference room. And he said, so many improvements, and it'll be great. But we'll still have this so we can have two groups in here at once. Now, I heard that. And one of the things about coming here is that we get exclusives. Even though we'd have separate meeting places and kitchens and dining halls and everything, we still got dorms. Knowing that we're selfish and self-centered, we don't like to share this facility with anybody because it interferes with our spirituality. We have tried it before. We went to another place, and the Baptist women were there. And the swimming pool was down the hill, and they gave, you know, we had a couple hours at the swimming pool, and then the Baptist women had a couple hours at the swimming pool. And the people in charge came to me and said, the Baptist women have a problem because some of your ladies have on two-piece swimming suits. So they've been spying on us. Well, the AA girls started taking their tops off and said, no problem. Yeah. So sharing with others interferes with our spiritual growth. Yeah. And some of the Baptists wanted to sneak around and come over around our meeting hall and smoke with us heathens away from the Baptists, as if they wouldn't smell it. You know. Anyway, all that stuff. All of it's growth. All of it's growth. And if we can look back on those things, of the things of where we've come from and how we've grown and where we're at today, we can each see our individual growth. It is important, I think, that not just as a group, but we see our growth as individuals. Sometimes it takes a sponsor to point that out. But sometimes if you will look and take a personal inventory, and if you do, share it with your sponsor. But we need to individually see our own personal growth. That gives us hope for ourselves. I'm not really that bad. I have done some good things. But the one thing that is imperative for growth, and I heard it so often and so much this weekend with the speakers, and it just kept being reinforced and reinforced, and it's like, God, you know, our group must be in a place where we needed to hear it more than once, more than twice, more than 10, more than 50 times. Without spiritual growth, without a God in our lives, nothing else is possible. The speakers shared so much about spiritual growth and getting a God of our own understanding in our lives this weekend. They all, every one of them talked about that. Very strong. I mean, like last night, Beth was really on a roll with her God thing, and I thought she was done, and then she went into more. Yeah, and each one of the speakers did that exact same thing. When I thought that they had reached the point, they went on and they shared stories with you of how they know that there's a God in their life. They gave you examples, us examples. Not just, and see, I believe that's the difference between church and AA and Al-Anon. I've never had a preacher share stories with me that applied to his own personal life. I've never had a preacher say, okay, now I'm done. Does anybody want to come up and share? They never wanted my opinion. And that's why it didn't work for me. You guys care about me. You want to know what I think, what I feel, what's going on with me. And that's what works here. That's what works. Like he said, we go through different things, him and I, with coming up here. Yeah. Like I said yesterday, we have both missed Simone, Nicole. Things that I've thought about up here with the girls to babysit Nicole when she was little so we could go to meetings. And so Simone could be in meetings, yeah. And some of you guys took care of Nicole, too. And Keith and Simone always got to go for a walk by themselves and spend some quiet time together. And I knew he missed that. And he goes, I'm going to go for a walk. And I said, if you want company, I'll go with you. And he said, yeah. And so I went with him. And we walked around. We got over to the animals. And I thought of Nicole. She loved going over there. And Mick used to saddle up a horse so she could ride it. Am I sad? Those are good memories. What do I have to be sad about? That's positive stuff. Of course I'd like to have my way and have them here, but when Nicole started going to school, it cut out their time. It's part of life. That's the way life is. Everybody grows up, hopefully. Yeah. I was telling Maddie the other day, she had something that said grow up on her hat or something. And I said, you know what? I've gotten older, but I don't ever want to grow up. Yeah. I mature in the program because I get spiritual muscles from the things that we go through. Yeah. And I go through a lot of things that I have to accept that I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want to accept the fact that Keith's got diabetes, that his feet bother him all the time. But I can't change that. Yeah. I accept it and I try to help him when he wants help. You see, the thing he taught me, and Keith and I learn from each other just as much as we learn from each other in these rooms, because we practice these principles in our home and with each other, because that's what we're told to do. And when I had my hip surgery, Keith said, I will do anything for you that you want me to do for you. But you will have to ask. I will not hover over you. He gave me the dignity. And I learned that from him, so that's what I do with him today. He taught me that. So, when we get done with cleaning up here and doing all of our stuff today, the thing that we take that nobody can ever take away from us as individuals is memories. We can take all the pictures we want. But each moment, and everybody says, you know, the weekend goes so fast. And it does. But I always think around when I'm doing something, I see something. I take a mental picture, you know. I got in the mud and I had a bunch of dirt around my chair yesterday and I went and got a broom. And Vegas Sean came up and said, I'll do that for you. And I said, thank you. He said, we'll sweep the whole room because a lot of people have had mud on their shoes. And so he got Conrad and Landry, the guys from Vegas, to help him. Now, I remember seeing Sean over in a meeting in Las Vegas help him set up, and all the guys were setting up chairs, and Sean said, he was standing there telling them what to do, and he goes, I'm a supervisor. This is what a supervisor looks like. And he wasn't helping set up chairs. So yesterday, I asked Sean toward the end of the day. I said, so did you sweep? Yeah, I did. He said, and Conrad did, and Landry did. You know, I said, no, did you put a broom in your hands, and did you sweep? He said, yeah, I did. And I said, Conrad, did he do that? He said, yeah, he did. I said, great, you've moved beyond supervising. You have become part of. That's growth for Sean. Those are the things that I see. Those are the memories I make. Because that's growth. That's growth. Any of us can stand around and tell others what to do. This is what I want. You have to do this because this is what I want. Instead of saying, okay, I love you. I'm going to let go. Elsa Chamberlain used to tell me, you give it all up and you'll get it back 100-fold. She said, it's like you put a little bird in your hand and you leave it there. And if you close your hand, it will suffocate and die. But if you put that bird in your hand and then you leave your hand open with love and gentleness, the bird will fly away, but if it's meant to be, it will come back on its own. And that's the way it is. So, we want to thank you for a great weekend.
I want to interject a memory. I know we are who we are. And our meditation book this morning said truth. I went over to Mix to his house to get him. And I knocked on the door, and he's got those two big red dogs. You've seen them. His girlfriend gave him those dogs. And I went in his house, and there was a bear rug laying on the floor. And those two dogs had chewed it all up, thrown it up, and shit all over the floor. And he drug the rug up on a chair, and the dogs were laying there, and he said, "Don't mind the mess. I'll be ready in a minute. Make yourself comfortable." Now that's a memory. That's a memory, baby. And them dogs are licking on me, and I said, "Look at the mess you made." And they didn't care. And we left and walked away. And I tell you this so none of you ladies have to go over and clean up Mick's house. He'll clean it up himself. Thank you, Ryan. But that's reality, baby. That's reality, and that's who he is. And we are who we are. Please, after a moment of silence, let's pray on.